want to welcome you back to Sling Stones. It's a joy to be with you here today, and I pray that the Lord meets us in His presence and that we actually feel His face shining on us in this day. A couple things as I begin. First, you may notice the sound is a little different than it is normally. That's because I'm actually traveling. I'm in North Carolina, and I didn't bring the right microphone, and so I'm simply using the microphone on my computer. So it may be a little different, but I'm sure you'll be able to hear, and I'm looking forward to spending this time with you. Secondly, you may hear in the background a baby crying. Actually, Sherry, my wife, and I are down in North Carolina spending several days with our daughter, Emily, and her brand new daughter, our brand new granddaughter, Charlotte. She's only 7 weeks old this week, and we can hardly keep our hands off of her. As a grandfather, I'm taking somewhat of a probably undeserved pride that when she's fussing, it seems as though when I hold her, she settles down far better than she does with grandma. Well, I'm probably just imagining that, but it's a great privilege for a grandfather to wrap his arms around a little girl and put her on his shoulder and spend the day holding her. It actually brings great healing to my own soul as I spend that time loving on her. It's all part of this amazing thing we call attachment and how we all need to be connected to one another, and that when we are, something happens deep inside of us. I hope you're able to connect with somebody today, and that as you do, you'll recognize that connections with people we love is a key to well-being. So I read a quote this week from Richard Rohr, and it so resonated in my heart because it, in many ways, illustrated my own Christian journey over these past years of moving from what was a misconception regarding the coming of Christ to a far healthier understanding of why He crossed the universe. Listen to this quote. I'm going to read it twice. Jesus did not come to change the mind of God toward humanity. Jesus came to change the mind of humanity toward God. Let's do that one more time. Jesus did not come to change the mind of God toward humanity. Jesus came to change the mind of humanity toward God. We've talked about it before, but it's unquestionable that for many of us, and I know that I would say this was true of me, the earliest perceptions that I received regarding God were that He was fundamentally angry with human beings, that He wanted to wipe them out because of their sinfulness, and that it took Jesus to calm the Father down, to receive our punishment, so that then there was a satisfaction in the heart of God to be able to look at us more generously. And we talked about this in the past under the theme of duck and dance theology. And you may remember that, and if you don't, maybe you want to scroll back to some of the other podcasts and pick that up. But the whole idea is that for some people, their theology has been shaped with the idea that God is very angry with them, that they are fundamentally unloving, that they are corrupted through and through, and that if God had His way, He would kick them to the curb. And in that kind of theology, the idea is that Jesus comes and He satisfies the anger of God, which then gives us a chance at receiving God's mercy, but the mercy comes with conditions, and those conditions are that we now straighten up and fly right, and if we don't, there can still be more wrath and more punishment coming our way. And there were certainly ideas of that in the theology that I experienced as a young child and as a young teenager, even before I invited Jesus into my heart. Those were some things that were fundamentally true. And, you know, that shapes a view of God that highlights certain characteristics that really make any relationship with God difficult because we're so nervous and anxious about Him. So here's some of the things that I began to think about, that I fundamentally believe that God was very demanding and quick to anger, that He was somewhat miserly in the handing out of rewards. And rewards, of course, were based on good behavior and good service, but He was very swift when it came to punishment. Now, those kind of attitudes really impact the way you approach God, the way you pray, the degree to which you want to spend time in the presence of God. And it's not easy to see those go away. And that even after I received Christ, and there was this deep sense of gratitude toward God's willingness to forgive me, there were some of these ideas about God that still lingered. You know, the idea that God works transactionally and that if you do good things for him, he'll do good things for you. That also we have to really strive and work hard to seek after God. And then in seeking after him, he becomes pleased and he'll give us some of his blessings. And that we have to be ultra concerned that we align our behavior accordingly, because that kind of purity is the key to having any deep and meaningful relationship with God. Well, I want to say thank goodness that Jesus Christ came, and that in his coming, he comes to show us a different picture of God. Now, I'm sure that I've mentioned this before, but one of the most encouraging and important journeys that I've ever taken in my life is the journey to look at the character of God through the character and life of Jesus. Because as I begin to look at that, I see a completely different emphasis regarding God's attitude toward humanity. So we go back to what Richard Rohr said, is that Jesus didn't come in order to change God's mind about us, but he came to change our mind about God. That God is very different than this picture of a capricious, demanding, quick to anger, miserly God, but instead there are characteristics of God that are actually breathtaking as we begin to embrace them and come to understand them more. And that's what I want to talk about. So what do we learn about God as we look at God through the lens of Jesus? Well, I'm going to list several things here that I think are very important and that we should ask the Holy Spirit to really bring these deep inside of our hearts, because as he does, it really changes our desires for God, the way we approach the Father, and our confidence in our identity in Christ. So let's look at some of those. I think one of the key characteristics is the fact that God is the one seeking us. Now we see that in the story of the Jesus telling parables, like the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And he talks about the shepherd that is seeking the lost sheep and the woman who's looking frantically for the lost coin. And he is unquestionably saying, this is God's attitude toward us. Think about that for you. God is seeking you. God is pursuing you. That's an amazing concept. And really, it's emphasized also in the Old Testament, because as soon as Adam and Eve strayed and they ate the forbidden fruit, we see that God's seeking after them. Where are you? Because God longs to have fellowship with his children. What would it be for us to think every single day about the fact that God is seeking us in this day? He pursues us. Let's just say that God is pursuing me. And think of it, the God of the universe who created all that is, he is pursuing you. But that's not all. God desires you. Jesus talked about the fact that God wanted to bring the people of Israel under his wings as a mother hen does chicks. He desires to be close. Well, we certainly see that in the story, the writing of the Song of Solomon. In chapter 7, verse 10, my desire is for you. What would happen if we began right there? That every day we begin with thinking some of these thoughts, God is seeking me today, God desires me today. What about this amazing reality? That God has fulfilled all the requirements of the law, all the requirements that would bring us into relationship with him have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ because of his love. This is what Paul was emphasizing in his writings in the book of Romans and also in the book of Galatians, that Jesus did it all for us. And the change of our behavior happens because we're so overwhelmed by the generous, unmatched love of God that we then want to align our lives according to the purpose of God and his desire for us. But how wonderful it is to know that God He fulfilled all these requirements. Also, I think it's important for us to recognize that he's patient with us. I see that when I look at the interactions that Jesus had, even with sinful people. He didn't give up on them. Think of James and John and their temper. And think of Thomas and his doubt. Think of Peter, even his lashing out. In all of these cases, Jesus didn't set them aside. He spoke to the issue and he kept embracing them because he knew that this is a journey. You know, I think one of the things we as Christians need to recognize is there are these times when we have relapses into the brokenness of our past. And I know that we beat up ourselves and we wish we were different, and all the time we spend shaming ourselves is of no avail, because what God wants us to know is that he loves us and that he's patient in our change. I think this is another thing that we recognize, that God's love is always pursuing it, and once it gets into us, it won't let us go. Listen to this little verse from Meister Eckhart. When the fish takes the hook, the fisherman has it no matter how it twists and turns. So it is with love. When we take hold of it, it holds us like a hook, and nothing can take it from us or us from you. We have been hooked by God's love, and that hook is in us. And that's why Paul says in Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Aren't these the things we should think about all the time, that God seeks us, he desires us, he's fulfilled the requirements so that we can be his children, that he's patient in our growth, that he loves us, and that he wants to nourish us. I don't think God spends his day seeking ways to cleanse us as much as he seeks ways to nourish us. Jesus was always at a table with people, seeing that they would be fed. And even on the night in which he's betrayed, wine and bread are given. And in those come a healing and a nourishment. And this is what God wants for us. Instead of us thinking all the time that God is into reward and punishment, what would happen if today we thought that God wants to set a banquet before us? Even in difficult times, even when it's wilderness, there is a table there if we can only seek it. We can go on this picture of Jesus, the generosity of God. How much Jesus gave, how much Jesus sacrificed in order that we can be reconciled to God, and that is all present with us in this idea of what God really is like. That he forgives us so liberally. And that story when Peter asked, how many times should I forgive? And Jesus talks about 7 times 70. And he was speaking to the fact that God is ever forgiving. That comes up again in 1 John. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That doesn't sound like this demanding, miserly, capricious God. It's an overwhelming Father who longs to love his children. And that whole idea that he accepts us. He doesn't accept us because we've fulfilled some requirements or we followed some rules. His acceptance is based on his very character. And he loves us. You know, thinking of God like this can change our day. And as we change days, it changes our lives. What if today you took a small little tablet, you wrote down some things, and you said to yourself, I'm going to repeat those throughout this day, that God is seeking me. God desires me. He's made all the requirements fulfilled in Jesus so that I could have a relationship, that he's patient with me, that his love has hooked me, and he won't let me go, that he wants to nourish me. He's generous with me. He forgives me. And that he accepts me today as his child. Wow, how this would change the way we perceive God our Father. And that all of a sudden it would lift our hearts away from this neurotic, anxious, performance-driven responsibility toward a God that is demanding and capricious. And instead we begin to rejoice and rest in the easy yoke of this God who says, I want you, I desire you, I'm seeking you, I'm chasing you. Well, I pray that you think about these things today and that you let them go deep into your heart because they're for you and they're for me. And thinking these thoughts, giving thanks for them, it'll rearrange our complete understanding of how much God loves us. God bless you. Have a great day.